day. I am B.R. Mall, and you are listening to the podcast, Living God's Way in an Ungodly World. It's good to have you here with me. Thank you for joining. In this podcast, that is exactly what we talk about here. It's exactly what we search the scriptures for, is how to live God's way in a world that so many want nothing to do with God. Many are denying the existence of God. The world as a whole is trying to write God out of everything, including history. Now, this is a special episode because this is episode 40. Well, why is 40 so special? The interesting thing about this episode is that I have been working on the book of James, and I was going to continue the book of James this week, but the Lord has put it upon my heart to speak to the Jews. And the reason for that is I have been following close what has been going on in Israel these days. October 7th of this year, Hamas violently attacked Israel. Up until this point now, Israel has responded, rightfully so, by attacking and wiping out much of Hamas. This is different for me, so this is new grounds. Typically, in living God's way in an ungodly world, I speak for the most part directly to fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. But I am hoping that this message is going to reach Israelites, Jews, who are going through this horrendous time in history. I'm going to do what I can to put advertising right into Israel using this podcast. So if you are Jewish, I invite you to please listen to this message. This is very important. And this message is for everybody, Christians and non-Christians, Jews and non-Jews, but I'm going to speak more directly to the Jewish nation. That kind of brings me back to the reason why the number 40 is so special. There is no coincidences, and as I was preparing, prayerfully considering what to speak about, the Lord brought it to my attention that in episode 40, well, that number is an important number to the Jewish nation. Because thousands of years ago, when Moses led the Jewish people out of the iron grip of Pharaoh, God promised that he would give them a land. And at first, they were very excited. They were so pleased that Moses was going to lead them and get them free from Pharaoh's grip. But it didn't take too long for them to start getting tired. And the Jewish people began to question whether or not they did the right thing by following Moses out of the land of Egypt. So there was much confusion and eventually complaining. And we can read in the scripture, Joshua 5:6, "For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed, because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us, a land flowing with milk and honey." Heavenly Father, I pray for your guidance. You have put it on my heart to speak to the Jewish people, the people that you have picked to be your voice, that all nations would see your work through the Jews. So guide me, Lord, so I may speak the truth and only your truth. And I pray through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So God, in his infinite wisdom, and after, of course, making time itself, in his perfect plan, has chosen the Jewish people to be his voice to the world, to all nations. And for anybody who has read the Old Testament, the entire Old Testament. I know many of the Jews to this day, well, you only read the Pentateuch, the first five books of God's Word. But that's not the whole picture. And I encourage you, as a chosen people of Yahweh, to read what He has said, the things that He has demonstrated through His entire Bible, and starting with the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. So God chose Israel, the nation of Israel, to be a people that He would guide, that He would bless, that He would show the way. The only nation to be blessed by our amazing God to reveal Himself from the early on in history, from the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire that He used to lead them in the wilderness, to speaking through Moses, the great prophet, by saving them, by parting the Red Sea, and so His chosen people could walk on dry land where just moments before the Red Sea laid heavy upon. And that same dry land, as Pharaoh pursued God's people, God used that sea to swallow Pharaoh and his entire army. Our Heavenly Father has done so much in demonstrating who He is through the nation of Israel that I don't have time in this episode. I usually keep them 30 to 45 minutes in length, so I can't spend too much time going over all the details. What is on my heart, what I want to focus on more, is where God's chosen people are today. So please hear me, Israel. And for all my brothers and sisters in Christ, any Jew that you know, please point this out to them as well. I am surprised and saddened to hear that the Jewish people are a godless society. They are agnostic right now at their foundation. And if you are listening to this and you are living in Israel, the nation itself of Israel, the physical borders of the country, you are right now completely understanding the pains and powers of this world as the world turns against the Jews once again. And so speaking to Israel, that is just one thing alone that points to the very fact that you are God's chosen people. Why? Because the world hates you. So many nations want to see you destroyed. Nations that have no historical connections to Israel. But we can go through history, not even just biblical history, and just see nation upon nation hate Israel, want them taken out. And why is that? Is there something about Jewish people that are so bothersome or so frightful to the world that they want to see the Jewish people eliminated? In and of themselves, no. It's the very fact that God chose the Jews to be His voice, to be the very example of what happens when a nation follows Him, when a nation obeys God. They are blessed. Because even when the children of Israel were set loose to wander those 40 years because they were belly aching and wanted to go back to Egypt, and so God said, well, okay, I got to discipline this because our God is love. Yes, He is 100% love, but He is 100% righteousness, and I love Him for that. So He couldn't let that go unnoticed, and that is why they wandered the wilderness for 40 years. I didn't research certain facts, so I can't remember how long it would have taken the Jewish people to actually go from Egypt to the Promised Land, but we can look on the map and it wouldn't have taken very long. I mean, days. It's not like it would have taken months or years. It should have just taken days. But during that time of wandering, it's important to point out that God was still watching over the Jewish people. They were fed. I mean, that huge amount of people wandering and with every passing year growing, and He fed them. He made sure they had food and they had water. They had the resources they needed. And their sandals didn't wear thin. Their supplies just supernaturally lasted far longer than they should have. He took care of them. In Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, it reads, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" There is so much to go over in that, but here's what some of the things I will touch upon. Abram, who was later renamed Abraham, is the father of the Jews. He trusted in God. He had the faith to step out of the world that he knew. And up until this point, the world was pretty much pagan. There were no Christians, right? Because Jesus didn't come for thousands of years later. And the Jewish nation wasn't even formed yet. It's the one man who was going to start it all. Well, God started through him. He was a wealthy man. He had much to lose in just following God. And what happened? We look now, we fast forward to today, and the Jewish people blend right into the world around them. Growing up as a little boy, I always just assumed that the Jewish people were a very godly people who had a very special connection to God, a connection that was far better, more powerful, closer than myself, because I am not a Jew. I'm classified as a Gentile, like everyone else who's not a Jew. So think of the importance of being Jewish. That's another reason the world can't stand the Jewish people. And I say the world, yes, that doesn't mean everybody, but it means many. And if you've read the Bible, you know there's prophecies that have not been fulfilled, and those prophecies are quite clear that the world as a whole is going to be coming up against Israel. I'm not a scholar in that area, but I listen to some who are. And if you are Jewish, and if you do not believe in God, or if you're just angry at God, I beg you to stop whatever it is you are doing in your life, and you look to God. You get yourself a Bible, and not just a Pentateuch, because you can't know your God just by reading the first 5 books of the Bible, and I promise you that. I absolutely promise you that. You must read God's Word. The enemy, the devil himself, who can't stand anybody who is following God, and he certainly hates God's chosen people. And so he's going to lie and deceive, and that's one of his great deceptions, is convincing the Jews that that's all you have is the 5 books that Moses wrote. That's it. The other stuff doesn't count. Well, it does. So get reading. You got 66 books in God's Word to read. And do it, because this is your salvation. If you are Jewish, you have such a blessing to be set apart from the world, as God continues to demonstrate to this day his power. Did you know that in God's Word, he made it quite clear that someday Israel, the Jewish nation, would be a nation again? And in 1948, they became a nation. The only nation to have ever been destroyed and scattered, be in non-existence, just a wandering people all over the place, and then to come back and to be an official nation again. It's in God's Word. Now back to Genesis 12, verse 2, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you," God says, "and make your name great." I just mentioned that Israelites the nation of Israel does have a great name, because it's the only nation that can claim to be God's chosen people. And right now as we speak, I have been reading about miracles that is taking place in Israel right now as they fight this war against Hamas and Hezbollah. Some amazing things that is happening. Now, one of those I'll share that I'm thinking about is troops that were responding on that first day to the attack, and they weren't ready. They were not prepared. I don't know the details. I don't understand why, because Israel is blessed and they have some of the best technology in the world, again, because of God. But with that said, they were quick to grab rifles to get out to fight. They didn't have time to clean. They didn't have time to disassemble and make sure everything was in working order. And they just went out and fought like crazy. And there's testimony to the fact that when they were done, there were rifles that jammed when they went back and they were at the armory and they were going to take things apart and make sure they cleaned them and got them ready for more battle. One soldier said that it was completely froze up. The rifle was useless. Shouldn't have been able to fire at all, but he says he was shooting wonderfully, hitting his targets. People, that's God. That's God at work. And here's the other special thing. So if you're Jewish, pay attention, because God has made it also clear that now that you're a nation, you will never be dissolved ever again. Israel will remain, no matter how many enemies it has. Man, I tell you what, if God was talking about me and my nation that way, I'm an American. If it was in God's word that he was going to bless those who blessed us and curse those who cursed us, I would be reading God's word. My Jewish friends, seek your God, this beautiful God who loves you so much. Verse 3 in Genesis 12 goes on, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And why is that? Do you realize it's because he is pointing to Jesus Christ, the very God-man who died for the sins of the world that the Jewish elect criticized and hung on a cross. It is because of him, through him, Jesus Christ, a Jew, that we are all blessed, all families of the earth. Me and my family, believing in Jesus Christ and his pure blood, his sinless blood, has wiped our sins away. And I am so thankful for that. Going to jump to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And so, yes, this is in the Pentateuch. So I invite you to go then to chapter 7, verse 6. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. It reads, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. Holy. That means separate, set apart. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. What an honor, a complete privilege that the maker of the universe, the maker of everything great and small, has chosen a people that he has separated from the rest of the world for a people for himself, a special treasure. So the Jewish people, the Jewish nation, is very near and dear to God. And as Gentiles, we are blessed to be added into this as God's family. And yes, every child of God, every born-again believer is indeed chosen, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. Whosoever. That means anybody, Jew and Gentile alike, male, female, slave, free. It doesn't matter. And so when somebody is born again, and for my Jewish friends, go to John 3:3 and read about being born again. because I don't want you to make the same mistake that the Pharisees and Sadducees and others who should have known who Jesus Christ was when he was walking this earth, they made that mistake. They did not recognize their own Savior, and they assumed because they were the seed of Abraham that that alone made they're going to go right to heaven. But that's not the case. As a chosen people, God chose the Jewish nation to be separate, to be holy. So he is to glorify God himself, not to glorify the Jews, but to glorify him. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all people. He didn't choose the Jews because they were special. They're special because he chose them. Verse 8, but because the Lord loves you and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those, this is verse 10, and he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him, who hates God. He will repay him to his face. 11, therefore you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which I command you today to observe them. The Jewish nation, I beg of you to stop being part of this world and look to your God Almighty. That should be the number one priority. And that's even more important than picking up rifles and fighting right now, because without God, you have nothing. Nobody has anything. We all have nothing without God. We stop breathing without God. But the very fact that as a nation, you have these promises, and the very fact that if you read Revelation, if you read the book of Isaiah, if you read into Daniel, if you get in there and actually read God's word, you will find that much is coming down the pike, and many Jews will indeed be saved, will be born again saved, not physically saved. But my heart goes out to all the Jews who die without knowing their God. Now, before I forget, I invite every Jewish person to go to Proverbs 30, verse 4. There's a very important question, and this question is for everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. But to our Jewish friends out there, it's even more important because it points directly to who Jesus Christ is. Proverbs 30, verse 4, the question, who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? I think it's safe to say God our Father, right? Okay, that's, I guess, pretty obvious. You knew that. The last part, what is his name? It's not God, it's Yahweh. And what is his son's name? If you know, his son's name is Jesus. Jesus Christ is his son. And this was written in King Solomon's time, way before Jesus even walked the earth. You need to know who your God is and who his son is, because that is how he now offers salvation, is through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, and in no other way, my dear friends. I want to end with Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. It's one of those that I have memorized, because it's a great reminder of what God requires of us. And this, he speaks directly to Israel, his chosen people. But this one also extends to all of his people. It reads, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul?" Let's look at those four areas, the four things that says, what does the Lord your God require of you? Not asks of you, but requires of you. And to a nation that has sailed so far from their Maker that they hardly recognize him. Many don't even know him, but he is still saying this is what he requires of you. And for the Jews, you are his chosen people. And you can deny that he is your God, but that does not change the fact that you, with Jewish blood, are his chosen people, and you have the world looking at what happens to you. Even those countries who want to eliminate Israel, they can't help but keep watching. They know that God has made it clear. History over and over and over and over continues to point to the fact that the Jewish people are God's chosen. So you are to fear the Lord your God. That's that reverent fear. That reverent fear, like a child has a reverent fear to mom and dad. The child knows that mom and dad can cause a lot of pain, whether it's a spanking on the butt or grounding, taking something away the child really wants, whatever it might be. And even though the child knows that a parent can do that, the child loves the parents, loves mom and dad, because mom and dad take care of the child. So the child is careful to be respectful, to listen to what mom and dad say, but fear mom and dad, knowing that as much as the child loves mom and dad, that they're not going to do something to upset their parents. Growing up, that was one thing that I was very careful about, is like talking back to my mom or dad, because I knew I'd be disciplined. There's that reverent fear. And yet I love my mom and dad. So to fear the Lord your God. A Jewish friend, that means don't fear the world. What other people think about you. About any God that you may be worshiping. Whether it's the God of pleasure, the God of money, the God of fame. Whatever that God may be, turn your fear to Yahweh. The other thing is to walk in all his ways. In all his ways, not just some. The world wants to stand with one foot on the land and one foot in the water. They want to have everything. But Jesus made it clear that we cannot worship God and worship mammon or money, things. So walking in all of his ways, doing what is right, living a righteous life, loving other people, obeying his commandments, and yes, being born again, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, that you do need a Savior, that being the seed of Abraham is not enough, but that you need to trust in the blood of Jesus Christ and know in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. And with that, the Holy Spirit will dwell in you, and then, and only then, you will have the ability to walk in all his ways. The third thing, to love him. To love him, to love God. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might." Or it can be interpreted strength or mind, the way you think. So to love him above and beyond everything else and everyone else in your life. And then the fourth, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. To serve him. He is such an amazing God, and to serve him is an honor, is a privilege. And the very fact that he loves you so much, you want to give everything to him because he has already offered you and given you everything. And so whatever a person has, just to serve him. When we try serving ourselves or serving other gods, it all leads to misery, to loneliness, to an unsatisfaction, a desire that can never be quenched. But when we serve the Lord our God with our heart and soul, not out of obligation, no, with that love, looking forward to serving him. And when we do that, oh, he just fills us with his love, that agape love that the world, nothing in this world can offer, nothing close to agape love. So to the Jewish people, please, I pray that you look to God. Read the Pentateuch. That is great. But there is so much more that the Heavenly Father wants you to know about him. You are chosen. And do you know the things that God is going to do before this world through you, his chosen people? It's amazing. He's been doing it, but there's more, a lot more. Well, I could keep on going, but my time is coming to an end. I hope and pray that this message reaches out to Jewish people. Brothers and sisters in Christ, pass this along if you know Jewish people. Pass this message along, whether it's the actual playing of this message, but or just sharing it. The verses that I have gone over, pointing out the fact of who they are. So Heavenly Father, open the hearts to your chosen people, the people of Israel, the people that you have been faithful to. All through time, there is a cord that you have been weaving through time itself, and it pertains to the Jewish people. And you're not done with them. There's some pretty heavy stuff that's coming. And even though I don't know when, nobody does, it sure seems like it can be at any moment. Lord God, open their hearts, soften their hearts, and take away the scales on their eyes so they can see you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Keep the nation protected from this world, from the evil that's in it, and the evil that wants them annihilated. Thank you, God, for your grace, giving us what we do not deserve, and your wonderful, beautiful mercy, and that's not giving us what we as sinful people do deserve. And I pray through the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord, my brother, and your Son, and all of God's people said, amen. Thank you so much for joining me. I invite you to reach out to me, my website. There is a contact button at brmaul.com. Click on contact. I would love to hear from you. And you can also write to me and mail that to brmaul at box 126, Frazee, Minnesota 56544. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And until next time, God bless.